we should thank the worship team for moving out of their comfort zone to do these songs. Have you spoken at this service before, or just the 8 o'clock?
I did this too.
You did this one too. Okay, so Al, a few weeks ago we had Sergio and Violeta from Romania were here, and they take care of the nursing home there. Alex Stroey and his wife Rhoda and their family is here, and they oversee the whole project over there. So they're constantly involved in the spiritual aspect of it, the physical, material, all those things. And so he's back in the States for a few days, a few weeks, and he had the accident this past week, and he was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, and we weren't sure if he was even going to make it today. I mean, we thought he'd make it, but just not today. And so he wasn't able to make it to the early service because, you know, medication, injury, it's hard. Mornings are difficult, but he did commit to coming to the second service, and his time here is limited. He doesn't want to waste a whole Sunday just healing, right, Alex? So we're going to let him sit here in the front row with his leg up, and he's going to share with us what's on his heart, what the Lord has put on his heart, and when he's done, I'll come back up and we'll close. And then I have a favor to ask of everyone, and everyone, visitors and everyone, and that is that we are, September 18th is our celebration Sunday for the new edition, and we'd like to put a little blurb in the shopping news to come out and celebrate with us, but we don't want a picture of buildings, we want a picture of the church, the people, because we are the church. We are the house of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So after church, everybody out front, down in front, we're going to take your picture. And no one is excluded. Everyone has to do this. If not, we're going to revoke something that you really hold dear. Okay? All right, Alex, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I have a lot of things to say, a lot to share. But don't worry, I forgot most of what I was thinking to say. I will start with the Romanian word which we use to greet one another in church when we meet, and that's pace. Trust me and repeat after me, pace. That's the peace of the Lord be with you. And today we bless our Lord Jesus Christ because he brought peace between us and God. And also I'm thankful to God because through his Holy Spirit he puts peace in our hearts in moments like this. Also, I would like just to say thank you to Pastor Kevin and Joe for their friendship and support. We always feel welcome in this church and appreciate that friendship. I've been before many times in this church and I have good memories. I hope that we'll just add another one this Sunday. I'd like also to say special thanks to Steve and Sheila, my friends, our friends actually. Now I have to prove your friendship to keep me in your house for a few more days and take care of us. And also I would like just to say thank you to my wife. She's a very good care. She just was very close to me in this and to us in these days. After a few days in hospital, I said to her that next wedding, when I will do the vows, I will add a special sentence. But I can't say that sentence here in the church because it's just I can't. What amazes me all the time is that God works through people like us. I mean, it's amazing just to think that God is working using us. I mean, today the songs were good. But God has a better band in the heaven. Angels sing much, much better. And still God used this group today. Oh, I am a good preacher, I know that. But still God has better preachers. His son was the best. And although he has better music and better preachers, he uses us. But sometimes something stops us of being involved. And sometimes because we like to see everything ahead, we don't see how God is at work. So I would just like to invite you for a few minutes in one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26. It's one of those stories which encourages us to just play our role, our part, and see God at work. So, you have to trust me. In the Greek version of this scripture, verse 26 starts with the angel saying to Philip, "Wake up." It's just that word there, "wake up." And that's because Philip was sleeping. Do you like to take a nap? You feel free even in the church, no problem. That's fine. Philip had his nap during the middle of the day because, as you know, it's very hot. Nothing can be done in middle of the day in Israel. So he was having his nap. The angel of the Lord kind of didn't like too much sleeping for God's servants. So came and said, "Wake up. Go south to the road, the desert road." Now, who would like to take a trip in the desert middle of the day with, I don't know, 40, 50 Celsius degrees? I mean, and for what? What to do in the desert middle of the day? But without any other explanation, Philip obeys and he goes. Okay, so keep this in mind. Now, think to the Ethiopian guy. I like to say when I explain this story that he wasn't a stupid guy. He was a very well-prepared guy. He was the manager of all the treasuries of the queen. He knew math. He knew Greek language. He was employed because he knew stuff. In Romania, sometimes you are employed because you know people. This guy was employed because he was good. He knew to do stuff. But he traveled half of the world from his country to Jerusalem because he had that deep feeling, deep desire to worship God. Okay? Now just picture with me his week in Jerusalem. And I would like you to just talk to me now. If you try to picture in your mind how he spent a week in Jerusalem, what do you think he did? Just give me some ideas. Some official business. Could be that he had that in mind too. Yeah. What else? He went to the temple. Good, excellent. What he did there? He prayed. Excellent, good. He was listening to the teachings of the law. Good. What else?
The interesting part seems to be in the story that he read Isaiah, but did not understand what he was reading.
Good. We come back to that suddenly. But that's connected. Connected with his week in Jerusalem. Excellent. What else happened in Jerusalem? Just
he was searching for truth.
He was searching for truth. Excellent.
He was worshiping.
Great. Through songs, through sacrifices. Do you know what was, when they prayed, always the Jew prayed for one thing, which was that one in those times, you know? For Messiah to come. So here is this guy coming far away to worship and to pray for Messiah to come. Because he became a Jew by choice. He chose to be a Jew. And anyone, either a Jew or becoming a Jew, shared that expectation and the hopes of the Messiah. And he loved Messiah to come because then he will be fully integrated in the people of God. At this point, he will be not be in the main meeting of the temple. He will be somewhere in the next room in the court. But anyway, this is my point. Just listen. He is there having all his heart immersed in worship. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of seeing the splendor of the temple. But in that week there, he hears that there is a group of people saying that Messiah has come. And suddenly his mind is troubled. I mean, some people say that Messiah has come. Some of them preach that you need to trust Messiah and have Messiah and believe that he has come. And a few thousands did that already in the day of Pentecost. My personal view is that he was there on the for Pentecost day. But anyway, the Ethiopian has heard that there is a large group of people believing that Messiah has come. Now, there is another group saying, no, he didn't come. He is not Messiah. How can be a peasant from Galilee Messiah? So, one group said, Messiah has come. Another group said, Messiah didn't come. And he has to decide. And now he goes home. And he needs to answer that question. Is Jesus Messiah, yes or no? And that's why he buys the book of Isaiah. Because that's the main book of the Old Testament which will help anyone to understand what about Messiah. So what I want to picture in your mind is a guy which needs to know desperately. He wants to know. He will die if he doesn't know. He wants to know if Jesus is Messiah or not. Now, he reads a scroll, you know, and he reads exactly Isaiah, what we have today, Isaiah 53, okay? Exactly. He gets to this passage and he has a question in mind. To whom is speaking the prophet, is speaking about himself or about someone else. Now, suddenly, from nowhere, I mean, he's not in the temple court where anyone could try at least to answer the question. He's in the middle of nowhere. Only him and his people, his servants are there. They don't know the answer to that question for sure. But he has this pressing question on his mind. And suddenly, from nowhere, a guy is behind the carriage. And that guy speaks Greek, the same language like the Ethiopian speaks. Then not only that he speaks Greek, but he's interested in what Ethiopian reads, and also he knows the answer. And just try to put in the shoes of the Ethiopian. Suddenly, when you have the most pressing question, a guy from nowhere, it's there, and he tells you, oh, I know the answer of that question. And he just takes the scripture and explains him and just gives him the answer. So in this story, what I see, it's a lot of things which come together. God put lots of things together so that this Ethiopian will know the salvation. God worked all the details. When Philip went on that road, he didn't know the final of the story. When the Ethiopian bought Isaiah, he didn't know how this will help him. Even when he took that route, he didn't know that on that road will be a place where he can be baptized. So all the story tells us that God put stuff together to show us that he is at work to save people and to do his ministry. So I think the lesson of this story is there. We don't need to know all the picture ahead. Instead, we need to involve believing that God is already at work, planning to do more than we expect, more than we are able ever to do. I think we like, and maybe you like more than me, Americans like to know everything ahead, you know, like a good, and we need to know ahead. But when we talk about God at work, no. We don't need to know all the picture ahead. We need just to step and do what God is asking us to do. It's like a huge puzzle, and you have only a small piece. You look at that piece of the puzzle and say, ah, it's nothing. Doesn't mean too much. But you put your piece of puzzle there. And then another one comes with his piece of puzzle and puts it there. And then suddenly the puzzle is done, it's completed, and we realize, wow, God is at work. So Philip brought his small piece of puzzle in this plan. Ethiopian did, and God the Holy Spirit worked it out well. I don't know what God is calling you to do. I don't know what are your gifts. I don't know what God wants this church to do in the community. But whatever God brings to you, to your family, to your situation, you don't need to know all the picture ahead. God already planned everything. Bring your piece of puzzle and see what God will do. So, I will apply this to all what happened to our lives since we started the ministry. I've been asked many, many times how all this started. How is that Steve comes to Romania? And anytime when I'm asked this question, I have to go back and just tell the story of how God connected people together and how he worked because someone was willing to step before to know all the pictures. So I just want to help you to get all the pictures. So can I have one more slide? Okay. Alex and Rodi in Oradea, Romania, about 18 years ago, working in an orphanage and also doing God's work in two small village churches. We were there trying to find our way in life, what God wants us to do. We were doing this. I was working with these two churches, but also I was working for an orphanage to have my bills paid and all that. Okay, next. In that orphanage, there is a couple, Clark and Sue. They're not Romanians, they're Americans, okay? An American family which moved from New York area to Oradea, Romania, to start and to manage a dairy farm to help the orphanage which we were working for. This couple, Clark and Sue, came down, moved to Romania to start a dairy farm, help the kids get abilities and work and all that. Now, Tom and Crystal Ripley, they are dairy farmers, and they came to visit Clark and Sue, not me and Roddy. They didn't know we exist. Yeah? They came to see and to help Clark and Sue. During that visit, Clark and Sue takes a group, including Tom, to a church service where we were serving. It was a huge group, and I had a talk with Tom for a few minutes. Just a very polite talk. How are you? Thanks for coming. He said, nice ministry. I said, thank you. And that's all. I never thought that that discussion will mean something in the future. Okay? In 2002, Tom comes back to help Clark and feels God wants him to involve in a different project. How he had that feeling, you need to talk to him. But he just felt that God wants him to step out of that orphanage and farm and do something kind of more personal and I don't know. So he is contacting us. He asked me about the vision for the ministry. I told him one of the things I see as a need in the community is to start a kindergarten. And he says, good, you will have it. And I said, I have heard many promises before, so I just had no hope that that will happen. But Tom kept his promise. And in 2003, he came. But just before him to arrive in Romania, Steve and Sheila, Steve finally, after many, many years of saying, I will go one day to Romania, he comes to visit again the same people, Clark and Sue. He goes there. It's the last visit organized by the Christian Farmers group. He comes. And while there with us in Romania, Tom and Steve meet and they talk for 5 minutes, like Americans do. Hi, how are you? Great ministry, you know, very noisy, you know. No one believed that that talk has a significance in future. But Tom and Steve got connected. They got to be friends. Back home in States, they talk. And they decided to come together for a trip and continue the work on kindergarten. And from now on, all what will be on this projection, it's the story of how God worked. Because one said, I will go because God put in my heart Romania since I was a child, that's Steve. Because one said, I'm willing to do whatever God impress on my heart. So here are some of the projects which we developed through the years. Okay. The kindergarten, that's a place for poor kids, Gypsy, Romanians, Hungarians. It's a place where they come and they have free Christian education. It's a place to have fun, to be educated, to enjoy. Then that's the homework project. We train even Americans. You see one there? Homework project is for kids to help them to do the homework with parents which are not educated at all. We help them to go to the school and do well. Okay. Berekiu Church is one of the churches where we've been involved. I've been involved as a pastor. And we saw the need to do some remodeling. And this is how it came out in one of the... We added some toilets and some other stuff. And then it's another church in Pagaya where we are involved. I am a pastor of this. I do pastor of this church. In the attic of the church, we come with the idea to put an apartment so that we can bring a young pastor to live with the community. And it is. And then for the same church, we did a fellowship hall just to year by year. This is a story of 15, 16 years of ministry together. Anytime when people come, we are not involved only with 2x4s and bricks, but we like to worship together. So this is some of the very good preacher there. But the translator was even better. I joke. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's another good preacher there. Another one. Good sermon too. I think the group shared some songs with us or whatever they. Okay. Then I am coming back to the building projects. One of the trips we had to do the furnace building for the elderly people's home. That's the new building. Okay. We did some barns. More barns to hold and to protect our equipment. We want to develop a small type of farming to offer to the elderly people living with us better food. We have some equipment. I have heard that red tractors are the best in the world. So I just said, okay, let's go with the best. We did a home for the orphan girls many, many years ago. Now it's used mostly for the elderly people. Then we have another home for the elderly people, which is we do have happy moments. If you come down to Romania, we'll feed you for sure. And this is important because, you know, as a leader, you need to have vision for the future. You need to have dreams. How else we know what to do in future? So, while we had that, just look to this picture. This is where we have the elderly people. There are two different homes. So I was talking to Steve to connect these two homes to make just like one building to will be much easier to manage and to have everything done. So we came with this plan and we started to do the connecting of the buildings. This is from the back, just to see how it looks like. And we did it. We connected the buildings. I think there is one more. That's from the front now. This is how it looks now. It's all one building. This is how we heat now. That's the heating system we have now based on wood and sawdust. A lot of firewood. And our new proposed heating room, it's a new system based on, how you call it, Steve?
Geothermal.
We have a lake, if you can put one more picture. We have a fish pond, and the system will collect heating from that water and will convert it and just be used for the house. Yeah. This will reduce all the costs of the heating, and it will be much more simple to do. That's our. This is the next big step in faith for us. So what I want to say is that all what you saw, it's God putting things together. God worked through the years, because some people just, when God said, wake up and go, they did that. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Alex. It was mentioned at the first service that it's the ladies that go out in the middle of the night and stoke the fire. Is that correct? I'm just wondering if everyone in here heard that. I'm usually up at 2 o'clock throwing wood in our fire to keep it warm. There are several people over the years that have asked to get involved in the Hope Builders Ministry, which is the name of the organization. And if you would like to help with that, you can make a check out to Hope Builders or cash or whatever you want to do. And Alex has an account here in the U.S. We put that money directly in there, and then they're able to draw from that all the way over in Romania. And the geothermal project is the latest one, and that Alex said they're moving forward in faith on that. And I know that right now it's hard to think about warming your building because it's so hot in here. But I apologize, because there's just warm air coming out of those ducts back there. So we'll need to get that fixed before September 3rd. Got an important wedding coming up that day. So, all right, let's all stand. And except Alex, you can stay seated. And we will have a word of prayer. We're not going to have a closing number today. And then, again, I ask that we come outside for a picture. And also, Alex and Rhodey and the family is available here for questions and comments and more insight into the ministry, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that has been shared this morning. I thank you for the singing part. I thank you for the way that you minister to us through word and song and deed. I thank you for the work that you are doing in Romania and how you work all the details together and bring about your good and perfect will. And Father, I thank you that even as we witness that here with the story that Alex shared today, and as we read the scriptures and we see that Philip and the Ethiopian met on the road, we know that in our lives you're working all things together for good as well, and that if we will look to you and trust you and follow you and obey you, we know that you are bringing about your good and perfect will for us, and that all things are working together for our good through you, and that you might get the praise and the glory. And I thank you now, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.